time. We have been working through some of the stories in the book of Genesis and really been learning how to apply them to our lives. And so this morning we are taking this lesson, and what we are looking back on is the story of Leah and Rachel, and who are both now wives to Jacob. And we're going to look through, I'm going to just hit the highlights really quickly of the passage itself. But then where we really want to rest, the bottom line where we want to get to is, okay, we've been in these situations. Boy, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have acted that way. But we often don't take enough time to think about, okay, what should have I done? What should have I said? How should have I acted? And so what we want to do this morning is kind of go through just lightly, briefly, kind of reiterate the story a little bit, look at the emotions that were coming out of them, look at some of the things they said, and it even impacted how they would name their children. And then we want to reevaluate and say, okay, what should have Jacob have done in this situation? What should have Leah had done? Okay, she shouldn't have done this, but what should have she have done? And the same with Rachel. And hopefully then, in our lives, learn that, okay, when we get to one of those moments, we recognize, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. Where we stop and reevaluate, okay, what should have I done? What should I do the next time I'm in a situation like that? What should I say the next time when I find myself in a situation like that? So today we're trying to keep it really practical and working forward. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our Sunday school lesson. And it will be a give and take. And so you're welcome to share answers and ideas you have as we work our way through. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord. We thank you for fellowship that we can have together. And just kind of enjoy one another, enjoy the opportunities like the men had together yesterday, and what a privilege that was. Thank you also, Father, for just the safety you give us. When I hear of this guy Rick in the motorcycle accident, so often you protect us in situations that could be much worse or accidents on our behalf. And so, Father, I do pray for this young man. I pray physically for his healing and spiritually for his soul as well, not knowing exactly the condition of his heart. Father, you used a motorcycle accident in my life to get a hold of my heart at a portion of time, and so I pray that you would do so the same with him if that is what is necessary. Thank you that we could gather together here. I pray now that you would help us open our eyes to understanding. Help us to just see and identify the story here. Identify what shouldn't have happened and what should have happened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A couple things last week. I thought Gail made a really good statement. She said we can either choose to start something or to finish something. And I don't think she meant finish something as duke it out. Did you mean that, Gail? No, she didn't mean that. I'll get in the last word. No, that's not what she meant. She said, you know, we either make a choice, we're going to start an issue, or we're going to make sure that it doesn't become an issue. And I thought that was a really good statement. We also looked at the fact that both Leah and Rachel were jealous of one another. Do you remember what Leah was jealous of? Who would remember what Leah was jealous of? Brother David. Yeah, she was loved less by her husband, and so she was desiring to be loved more, and so in order to be loved more, she thought she should do what? Be able to what? Have children. And if God could open her womb and she'd have more children, and we're going to kind of see that unfold here a little bit today. What was Rachel jealous of Leah for? She could have children. And so each were jealous of the other, and we find it interesting, or I found it interesting. I think it was in verses 19 and 22. We won't go back and look at the verses. But God answered both of their prayer, even though their prayers were somewhat selfishly motivated. And one of the verses that I believe Becky brought out to us was Psalm 106, verse 6:15, where it says, "And he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul." And so one of the things we just kind of dwelt on a little bit, just because God seemingly is answering your prayers and could be, doesn't mean you're exactly doing what the Lord wants you to do. Sometimes God in His mercy brings about things and allows things to fall in line, and you think, wow, this is the hand of God. I must be going in the right direction. But that's not necessarily always true. And at this point in time, God was very merciful to both of these ladies. And they were now making requests to the Lord after trying to manipulate things on their own for a while. But at the same point, they were still sinful, still jealous and envious of one another. And so just because God brings something along, it doesn't necessarily mean you are exactly where God wants you to be. You need to be carefully evaluating that. So let's just pick up some highlights of this story. I'm not going to really read any total verses, maybe one or two. I guess I'll read a couple total verses I see here. But basically, I just want us to understand the flow. Jacob, let's get the story a little bit. Jacob meets Laban, labors 7 years, and the idea was, the agreement, the contract was, you work for me 7 years, I'll give you my daughter Rachel. Well, after 7 years, he gave Jacob his less attractive daughter, more frail physically, daughter Leah. And so Jacob had to labor another 7 years to get the woman he really wanted, which was Rachel. So now he's married to two women. We found in the past two women in the household does not work out well. And the situation is abounding here. So Jacob, it says in verse 30 of chapter 29, he loved also Rachel more than Leah. I'm just bringing a segment out of chapter 29, verse 30. So look at verse number 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Verse 32, Leah conceived. She said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. So listen to her heart. Listen to what she's saying. I'm going to have a child. Now he'll love me. And again, that can be the thought process sometimes of a lady. And she conceived again, according to verse number 33, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. So she's saying, the Lord heard that I was hated. And again, he opened my womb. She conceived again, according to verse 34. Now this time my husband will be joined unto me. So where's her heart? Well, it's a little bit lost. But her heart is seeking her husband. By the way, is that a bad thing? Is that sin? No, it's natural. And that is something that we would want a woman to desire the heart of her husband. By the way, men, your wife may be desiring your heart and not getting it. She's desiring a godly, actually a biblical thing. If she's not getting it, then there's something wrong on your end. You need to be making some corrections in your life so that she has your heart. But you notice here, she's really longing. Now, can that good desire become sinful? It can. And it was becoming that way in Leah's life. She was wanting children merely for the sake of having her husband's heart. You begin to question, I wonder how much time she gave to her children. Or was she just giving herself to try to get her husband? You would later find out that her children, some of them turned out to be some rascals. And they were liars and deceitful and so forth. And we're not going to get into that story today, but later on. And so here's what's going on. She again, look at verse 35. She conceived again. This is a fourth time. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Someone brought out a point about that last week I thought was really good. She's gotten to the point now where it almost seems like her eyes off of her husband and her eyes are just on the Lord where they ought to be. Interestingly, the child that was born was Judah. Who comes from the line of Judah? The Lord Jesus Christ. Someone brought that point out last week I thought was really good. They observed that two of the tribes that we would see of utmost importance of the 12 were born out of the loins of Leah. What are the two tribes? The tribe of Levi and the tribe of Judah. And you have the priest coming from Leah, and you also have the line of Christ coming from Leah. And so God was specifically blessing and taking care of here Leah in a way that I'm sure she didn't realize how God was ultimately going to use that. Look at chapter 30, verse 1. Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, "Give me children or else I die." So here's her sin being revealed, the envy of her heart. Jacob's anger was kindled against her. Says, "Am I in God's stead? I mean, who's able to give you children? Who's able to open the womb?" Verse number 6, Rachel said, "God hath judged me and hath also heard my voice and hath given me a son." Now, this was not directly through herself. When she couldn't have any children, she gave one of her maids unto Jacob to have a child by her. And Rachel again would say in verse number 8, "With wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I've won." You know, don't you see the sin attitude come out? "Boy, I've been fighting with my sister, and I finally got the upper hand." Well, that causes Leah now to want to have more children. She had been barren now for a while. And so Leah is now going to desire, and she has a child. In verse number 13, she says, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed." Interestingly, do I want to go to there? Keep your hand here and go to Ruth chapter 4 with me really quickly. Ruth chapter 4. I found this in my study, never remembered this, and did some background study on Ruth chapter 4, verse 11. Who are the main characters in the book of Ruth? Who's the main couple? Let's just cut to the chase. Okay, Ruth and Boaz. Naomi's the other lady that is involved. Ruth and Boaz end up marrying, and they're going to be part of the line of Christ. This is of the line of Judah as well, by the way. And all the people, verse number 11, "And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said," this is at the wedding, basically, of Ruth and Boaz, "We are witness. The Lord make the women that is come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which the two did build the house of Israel." I didn't know this, but in Jewish history, there would be a prayer of blessing at the end of the wedding. And the prayer of blessing that would be, "May the Lord bless you to be like Rachel and like Leah." I find that really interesting, because these two ladies that are striving and wrestling back and forth are ultimately going to be used as an example of a family that is blessed. Because out from these two ladies, you can go back to Genesis now, but out from these two ladies come out the 12 tribes of Israel. And they come from the loins of Jacob. So anyway, and so she says, the daughters will call me blessed, and that is true. And ultimately, that would be a blessing that would be placed upon any lady entering into marriage. Leah would say again in verse number 15, is it a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also?" And we found out that mandrakes were called a love apple and helping him to be being able to have children. Verse number 17, "God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived." Verse number 20, Leah said, "God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me." She hasn't given up. She still wants the heart of her husband. And God remembered Rachel in verse number 22. "And God hearkened to her and opened her womb." And this is what she said in the end of verse 23. "God hath taken away my reproach." She looked at the inability to have children was a reproach. And she finally is seeing that she is winning the battle. Now, did you see God intervening at all in this scenario? And if you did, where did you see it? Or if you can't find the verse, what did God do? How was God intervening in this family? And do you know where it is found? I read the verse just a little bit ago, but how did God intervene in this dysfunctional family? Brother Andy.
At the beginning, he saw that Leah was hated.
Okay. Do you find a verse? Where was it?
Verse 31.
And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. By the way, I'm trying to carefully read and just take what it says. Doesn't necessarily say that he made Rachel barren. It appears that both of them were barren, and he opened the womb of Leah so that she would be able to have children. So in this scenario, God is stepping in. What is God striving to do? Okay, Samantha? Okay, good. She said a good amount there that is all truthful. He's displaying mercy toward her. And since she does not have the desire of her husband, the Lord is meeting her needs. And by the way, that is how we are to look at it, ladies. If you don't have the desire of your husband, you do have the desire of the Lord. And He loves you with an everlasting love. And so God in this place steps in and displays mercy toward her. It said he saw that she was hated, so he was being merciful to the one being hated. Someone else? Anybody else want to add something? Rita, you have your hand up. Okay. I think you're very right as well. He's trying to bring them into the place of obedience and seeing where the blessing of the Lord comes from. It is after this, is it not, that Rachel gets into this tiff a little bit with her husband Jacob and talks about, you know, give me children else I die. Yeah, chapter 30, verse number 1. And so Jacob's now angry with Rachel. And, who hath made thee barren? And so, am I in place of God? Who's the one who allow you to have children? I should state it in that way. And so I think, yeah, the Lord's bringing him the place of obedience. Someone else? Yes, right up. Yeah, good. Excellent. God is answering the prayer. There are prayers involved. Again, I think they're somewhat selfishly motivated, but there are prayers involved here. God is answering their prayers and really in that bringing them around to Himself. And she would mention later that she says, verse 35 of chapter 29, now will I praise the Lord. Will I praise the Lord. Someone else. Brother Chris.
Chapter 30, verse 42. God remembers Rachel, and God hearkened unto her and opened her womb. I see grace.
Yeah, excellent. Grace. God is being gracious now to Rachel as well. Someone else, another comment? What does this tell you about the Lord? We can say He's merciful, He's gracious, but really, what does this tell you about the Lord? He loves, okay? Long-suffering. Yeah, and that's kind of one of the things that I was leaning toward. God actually cares about our family. God cares about your family. And now, I don't think this was special because this would become the line of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I think there was a special blessing here, but I think we have to walk away understanding this. when we're in that dysfunctional type family, or we're in a family that they're striving, and using Rachel's words, there's wrestling going on and one hoping to prevail. And Leah names her one child, I forget which one it is, Dan, Gad, one of them, Naphtali. He names the idea of now we'll overtake them. Meaning we've outnumbered them, now we'll get the victory. And so this is a contentious family, and God is trying to work. So if you have a family that's full of contention, I want you to know God cares. And God will bring things about, and sometimes God may answer a prayer that's somewhat selfishly motivated, but hopefully to bring you around to seeing that it's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. And God works in these very difficult situations. Someone else, another comment. Something else you might see in that, or what God is like because of that, Rita? Yeah.
They didn't deserve to have
mercy. Yeah, and mercy is that idea of withholding from us what we deserve. And God's grace is giving us that which we don't deserve. And definitely God is reaching out in that. And so we have to stop and think as well, is God doing that in my life, Virginia?
But Leah was kind of like, well, now I have my children, so now I'll praise him. But she should have been praising him.
Yeah, and this is one of the things where Leah should have more quickly identified the blessing of the Lord. And she kind of waited till she got what she wanted. Ultimately didn't get what she wanted. She wanted children. And maybe she was praying for the wrong thing. Praying for children instead of praying for the heart of her husband. I'm not sure. But she was thinking having children would give her the heart of her husband, and that did not work. Now will I praise the Lord. It's almost like now I'll begin to praise the Lord. Did someone else have their hand up? Nathan. Yeah.
So it makes you wonder if he even knew what was going on.
Yeah.
He's not mentioned in any of this.
Typical man has no clue what's going on. I'll say it. We did say last week, and somebody brought, Mike Foster was talking to him, brought out a really good point, how passive of a leader Jacob is. And how he let his mom lead when she wanted to get the blessing for him. She's the one that comes up with the idea. She's the one that works through it all. It's almost like he doesn't want to take the blame, so he doesn't assert himself. Again, in this situation, it's almost ominous how he's not there. He's not encouraging. He's not speaking up. He's allowing there to be some hatred and wrestling and not stepping in for his first wife, Leah. And so again, he really shows a weakness of character that's coming out the more, before when he was the child of the home, you didn't see this as much. Now that he's the leader of the home. By the way, sometimes that happens. You think you married someone who's a real leader, has real qualities, and it doesn't come out really until they come out of their home and have to lead a home that they aren't that good of a leader. That's when you have to really ask the Lord for help. You have to seek the Lord for counsel. I think 1 Peter chapter 3 helps you out some. It says if you have a husband, obeys not the word. The understanding of obeys not the word is not a believer. But I think you can make the application if you've got a husband that's not in obedience to the word. Maybe he is a believer, but not in obedience to it. You can still apply those same principles of the meek and quiet spirit. And so, yes, I think Nathan brings a really good point here. You don't hear much out of Jacob, and I think he has poor leadership qualities. Later on, I keep talking about it. He's going to meet up years later with his brother. And again, he's at the back. He's not out front. So look at his life and study it and say, this is what I'm not to be. And by the way, you can do that almost the entire life of Jacob. I'm not to be this way, I'm not to be that way. And you can look at some of the different things that he does, and he does not show leadership qualities, and of course being deceitful as well. Someone else, another comment you might have? Yes, Miss Bonnie. Yeah, great point that, you know, here's God working to put together the nation of Israel, and they're missing all the joy and the blessing of it by the continual battling. And this isn't new. In fact, I hopefully have enough time to talk about that in a little bit. History is going to repeat itself a lot in this family. From generation to generation to generation, literally three generations and even more. And so, and same thing sometimes with us. God wants to use us. In his mercy, he does intervene so many times, and we don't get what we deserve, and we get more than what we did deserve, but we also miss out on the blessing the whole way through. A lot of times we don't have any peace because we're approaching things in the wrong way, taking matters into our own hands like these two ladies were doing. Brother Mike.
I just think it's interesting that God accomplishes his purposes in spite of us all the time.
Mm.
Really, when you look back, a lot of the complications in their family, I think, really stem back way beyond that. I mean, Jacob was a deceiver. He was deceived by Laban. He really ended up marrying a wife he had no desire to marry. He didn't love her in the beginning and was tricked into marrying her. And then that all those complications from sin just followed through their family for decades.
Yeah.
Never really come to grips with some of those sins of the past.
Jim, for us to think about and maybe, but are we to love even though it doesn't necessarily come natural? I mean, it didn't come natural for Jacob to love Leah. Should he have loved her anyway? Okay. Because I think sometimes we have the idea, well, I don't love them anymore, and that's our out. So what do we say that as from a biblical Christian viewpoint? Yeah, we got a preacher up here, and all of a sudden now, Brother David said, God commands, husbands, love your wives. What else does God command? Love your enemies, okay? You got a real rough marriage? Okay, you don't have to like them, but you have to love them. And the idea here is, even though I think every one of us would say, even though this wasn't Jacob's plan, well, Jacob pulled some and Isaac's plan. And so even though this wasn't his plan, he is responsible to fulfill the covenant of love. And so you may not feel like loving, but you're under that responsibility. And I think all of us would agree to that. Another comment or two, and then I want to kind of get into the crux. Pastor Terry. It's a good point, yes. And again, this is one of the fundamental things. I know a number of you were in a class down here when we started in the A-frame, but it started with a lot of discussion like this, and we worked through the creation story and some false theories regarding creation and evolution and so forth. And one of the things that this series is not so much about just helping you to know the facts of Genesis, though I hope you learn them along the way. But, okay, we've never really evaluated this closely. We've read this passage. We're probably if I asked you how many of you were familiar with this story beforehand, probably at least 50% of you would raise your hand, if not more. Oh, yeah, I was familiar with that story. I remember. It was a little vague, but I remember that Jacob labored and was given the wrong woman and all. Maybe not remembered all the names and the places. But I think very few of us, including myself, have really taken the time to flesh this out and to look for the hard issues and then to stop. And here's where we want to make the change. All right, what should have Jacob done? Where did Jacob go wrong? And what should have he have done? So who would be the first to kind of answer that question? Jacob was wrong. Where was he wrong? And what should have he done? Because we want to get to the place when we don't do something right or say something right that we stop and evaluate it and make changes before that situation comes up again. Who'll be the first to help me? Brother Greg.
Obsessed with her and just overwhelmed and not paying attention. I can't answer that question. Why did he know? And I go back to what you were saying too, that he needs to love her and all this. Leah was not the one he married, but yes she was.
Yeah.
He didn't think that though.
Yeah. And I think a couple things enter into this. How in the world do you not know? I think a couple things enter into this. I think the Lord can bring some blindness to us. And I think God worked in this situation. By the custom, they came at night. They came veiled. They would not communicate until the morning. That was the custom of Jewish weddings in the day and age. I shouldn't even say Jewish, but it was really early in the Jewish nation. Think of it, there's hardly any Jewish people at this point. They are about to multiply, though, from this point forward. But the deceiver being deceived, I am sure this had him fuming. Because he was the one usually being able to pull off things on and pull the wool over, if I can say it that way, other people's eyes, and now he's been deceived. And I think God sometimes gives us blindness, especially in a situation like this, and I think in the sense he did here with Jacob. I think, again, it's probably an intervening of the Lord. God is bringing about his master plan. Pastor Terry. Good. A great thought. Yeah, be careful what you sow, because you may also reap that. Nathan.
You're talking about, as we heard this story growing up, one of the things that I've noticed through studying this here is I always was under the impression that he labored for Rachel, got Leah, and then it was another 7 years and he got Rachel. It was a week. And then he paid off the debt for Rachel after he already married her. So it makes you wonder if there wasn't more time between that when he could have actually gotten to know Leah, maybe things would have worked out a little different. But it was only a week.
Okay, you're pointing out what? What verse are you referencing there? I think I know what verse you're referencing. But
chapter 29, verse 28.
There it is. I couldn't remember.
It appears there's only a week between when he married both of them. Unless I'm...
Chapter 29, what verses?
27, 28, down to... Yeah, 27, 28, down to...
Fulfill her week, and we will give thee also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. The week would be 7 years.
Okay.
So he is going to labor. It is going to appear to him to be but a week. But there, then 28, and Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him, Rachel also, Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. But it is 7 years. It is literally 7 years. They would call it a week. I'll have to read. Now I'll keep reading. And he went. And also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years.
It almost seems like there was only a week between the two.
I'll have to go back and check. I'm almost certain they'd used... I'll check that out. I'll check that out. I honestly cannot answer that with full information here. I thought the reference to the week was but a Jewish statement, but I'll have to look into that. I'll have to look into that. Wendy? Don't give me another verse to read. Especially with my small print Bible here. I'm having a hard time reading that. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Trust him that he will, you know, help us. You know, he would have helped Jacob leaving Love Leah, but maybe Jacob wasn't leaving.
Good. Excellent answer. That we have to recognize, okay, this wasn't my plan, but okay, let's stop. I think we would say, well, you should have loved Leah. Well, the first thing you should have did is gone to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, I thought I was to have Rachel. Are you wanting something different with my life? And asking the Lord, Lord, help me now to fulfill what you want me to in this relationship. So I don't think it's merely, just starting to love Leah. I don't think that's the answer. I think accepting the will of God, accepting what God has done, and you see how it was the Lord's will. This is... How God uses this, Becky, I'll get to you, okay? That way you don't have to sit there and hold your hand up the whole time. God uses deceitful people to bring about his, and that's, I struggle with sometimes, but God used Laban's deceit to bring about his will. And not only brought forth this marriage, but brought forth the tribe of Levi and the tribe of Judah, as well as the other four tribes. She had six children. And so God brought about his will, even though it was through deceitful means of a man. We basically only know Laban. This is all we know about Laban. He's off the scene, according to the Bible, from here out. And so God is working in a miraculous way and even using a deceitful man like Laban to bring about his will. So when something happens, I think we have to really be open. All right, Lord, this wasn't what I was planned and this person took me across, but you've allowed this, so this is your will. How do you want me to respond? I think what we so often do, wait a second, he deceived me, he tricked me, this wasn't the way it was supposed to be, and then like we have an out to do whatever we want to do, and that's not true. Okay? Becky, get your hand up.
One thought isn't original to me, but Jim Burke had a series called the Joseph series, and so the thought, one of the sermons of that series is about Jacob and this whole issue with Laban. The point that he makes in there is Jacob was not a man who was right with God to begin with. God was trying to draw Jacob to him. And I believe that God was trying to use Laban to deceive Jacob, to let Jacob see what deceit was in order to bring repentance to bring. God himself to be a man.
Great point. God was using this situation with Laban to show him how hurtful deceit is. And he should have repented at that time, did not. And like she said, and like has been taught, God could have provided the 12 tribes of Israel from Leah. And would have been more, that would have been, and I think we need to be really careful about this is God's perfect will and this is God's permissive will. I don't have the knife sharp enough to know where to cut that. I don't think any of us do. You know, sometimes we say, man, Satan resisted me. Well, how do you know it wasn't the Lord working that around? Jacob could have said, look what Satan did to my life. He caused Laban to give me the wrong one. I don't think that was it at all, right? It was God. And so be really careful about, you know, trying to judge and knowing where to cut things out to be. We've yet to really get to the heart of Leah and Rachel. We'll start there next week and work forward. I had some things I wanted to share with you on Idols of the Heart, and we'll progress forward with that as well. So I had announced some good information earlier. I also have Luke Fritz's